Hi, friends. I'm Alex Jones, wondering if you're ready for the takeover by the New World Order. The Rothschilds and Bilderbergs want to depopulate the Earth, and their energies and their eugenics plan will leave you with erectile dysfunction. From genetically modified foods to poison in your water, you'll be left impotent and unable to procreate. That's why I, Alex Jones, recommend the new natural supplement, Jack and Jones Cobra. It worked for me, Alex Jones, wanting you to try Jack and Jones Cobra. Let's fight the New World Order together with boners.
Hi, everyone. This is Brett. Today is January 17th, 2013. This is an optional show. If you feel like we said all that needs to be said on the subject of Alex Jones in the last installment of School Sucks podcast, Logic Saves Lives, number 9, Alex Jones versus Piers Morgan, the show that I did with Tony Myers last week, skip right along to the next show. But I'll tell you why this show is coming out. Well, first of all, this is something called an After School Sucks special. This is a kind of bonus show that we do. I think we've done something like 20 of them, even though this, I will tell you, is one of the better ones. Not one of the funnier ones, but as far as content is concerned, this is one of the better ones. And this is my thinking as far as why make this public. There seems to be a lot of interest in this subject, just based on the number of comments that the last show got on the new website. It was like 15 the last time I checked. People wrote to me about it on Facebook. People sent me email. And a couple of people who had actually heard the show before, because maybe 80 to 100 people have already heard it. Either they listened live or they accessed it through the bonus content section of the new website, said it might be neat to hear this show that you did 6 months ago. This is right after the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting, after the show you just did. This is a different kind of conversation than the one we had in Logic Saves Lives Part 9. Joining me in this show, Brian Hagen, who you know, we've worked together before. We did a live performance together at Pork Fest where he was Alex Jones, strangely enough. But Brian is a good friend. He's actually the host of Wheels Off Liberty Presents Fajita Funtime Podcast. That is a real name of a program on the internet. Brian has about 20 years of professional radio experience, so I really valued his input in this show. And also joining us for a good portion of it, Alan Murdoch, who wrote to me after I released the last show and said, I can't believe you did an Alex Jones show and didn't include me, because you'll see he has a lot to say about this man. Alan was one of the founders of the Skeptical Libertarian, and I think he's with us for probably half an hour of this. This is a long show, but I hope if you have time to listen to this whole thing, you find it enjoyable. We do cover some of the same ground that we did in the last show, but like I said, it is a very different conversation. I've got to run, folks. I'm working on a lot of different things right now. I've got four different shows that I'm in some phase of working on, either planning or producing or editing, so I want to get back to all that. We're doing a live show tonight, Osborne and I, and probably a third person, I'm not sure who that is yet. We're going to be talking about astroturfing and the engineering of consent. So if you have anything to say about that, consider giving us a call. We will be live, schoolsucksproject.com/live at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I've got an interview with Lenore Skenazy, who a couple of years ago was dubbed the worst mother in the world for letting her 9-year-old son ride a subway by himself. And possibly next week, most likely next week, Tom Woods will join us on the show. Join me on the show. It probably won't be live. Those are some things that I've been working on. I really hope you're enjoying the new website. I just want to say thank you to everybody one more time for all of your participation, for going there, making a profile, making friends with other users, getting involved in the forums. Some people have started their own groups, commenting on the podcasts and the videos. I'm really, really excited to see where this is going to go. I have to say thank you again. Big thank you again to Tony Sage, who is our webmaster. You can access him by going to the team page. A lot of people have sent compliments my way about the new site, and a lot of those compliments I feel should be directed to Tony. So don't hesitate to do that if you have a minute. Thank you again, everybody, so much. All right. This is the After School Sucks special from July 26, 2012. Is Alex Jones disinformation on purpose or just by accident. Thank you for listening, and take care.
You can see them. This man on the screen here, that is Brian Hagan. Brian, how you doing?
I'm very good, Brent. Good to be here tonight. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
You as well. And tonight we see each other.
Are there any rules against drinking on your show?
There's no rules against drinking, swearing. You should hear some of the things that have happened on the After School Sucks special.
I've heard some of them. I just wanted to make sure we haven't like clean things up, you know, over like the last week.
No. First of all, Brian, I know that people know you now on my show as the gentleman who played Alex Jones in our little Porkfest Wheels Off Liberty performance. I know that in real life you are not Alex Jones, nor do I want to pigeonhole you as an Alex Jones character on the show. But I did see a lot of your posts over the last week and on this whole Colorado situation, which has been very intriguing to me. And I know that Alex Jones has been all over it as far as like, you know, PSYOP to bring about some kind of UN treaty that turns into legislation in the United States and eventually does away with the Second Amendment. Now, I find the story very intriguing, but I also find Alex Jones usually to be very questionable. So I know you are well-versed in the world of Alex Jones as well. So I wanted to get your thoughts, and we're actually going to probably have some other participants on this after show tonight, because I think that this story in Colorado is very interesting. But and I've followed it, and I've watched some of the media that InfoWars has put out about it. But, man, I just it starts with a feeling, and then a feeling isn't good enough, so you have to go and you have to start doing some homework and seeing what you
can find out. That's a very good point, doing your homework. And I'll jump over to InfoWars for just a second, and Alex Jones and everything they have to offer. You know, I think they pose some good questions, but I don't think that should ever, ever be the end-all, be-all of what your research leads you to believe.
Absolutely. And, I had this video that actually I can play a clip of it where it's about 11 minutes. And Alex Jones, you know, raises some very interesting questions about the event in Colorado. And then to me, it seems like let's just talk about technique first, because I think that going down that rabbit hole and trying to investigate, you know, every single one of these angles, you know, Zionism, Jesuits, and all this stuff can really be very confusing and very disempowering, and can lead you to feeling like you knew less than you did when you started. But when you focus on technique and the things that people do, I think this is very interesting that somebody brings up what are some interesting points, but then in the last minute of their presentation, it turns into this.
News and tell me to take my guns, okay? You like being a little disarmed coward with Bob?
Now, he's addressing Piers Morgan here, the host of the CNN talk show. He kind of replaced Larry King, called Piers Morgan Tonight.
So I know the show. I've seen it many times.
That's him, right? And he's this British gentleman who was the host of, he was one of the judges on America's Got Talent. And he seemed like a likable fellow. So now he has this talk show. And after the Colorado incident, he made some anti-Second Amendment, pro-gun control type comments. So Alex Jones, who spends 10 minutes perhaps doing what could have been a meaningful investigation into an important issue, then spends 60 seconds doing this.
Bodyguards, good. Get out of my country. Move to North Korea. Get out of here, you jellyfish. soft, lying, scumbag parasite. You are a joke, and you have almost no viewers. You are a joke. You are a joke. Just get out of my country. You filth. You and your scumbag, murderous UN. Yeah, you don't want to have their guns taken, do you? You just want my guns taken so you can have your way. You're an authoritarian pig posing as a liberal. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. You're no liberal. Stop taking names like liberal.
Yeah.
I'm a liberal. I want freedom. That's liberal. Not you, maggot. Get out of my country.
So when you clip something like that up, right? And it's almost like, oh, by the way, for all the people who want to push the idea that I'm nuts and the things that I say are completely nuts, here's me going over the Colorado thing, and then here's a minute of me acting like a complete insane person. And that's a relatively mild example for Alex Jones compared to some of the video clips you could pull on this guy. But from a technique of disinformation, which is the question that we're going to raise tonight. And it is a question that I don't have a definitive answer to, but I think it's an interesting subject worth exploring. And I think if we look at some pieces of this story, we might get closer to the answer. And that is Alex Jones disinformation? And when you see tactics like that, I mean, maybe the guy just can't help himself. You know, maybe he just gets hysterical. But that to me, you know, jumping in front of a story like this, and then behaving like that and mixing in things that really would inspire far more incredulity in people than just criticizing Piers Morgan, like tying it into these other conspiracies, it's curious to me. Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Brett. And that's what Alex Jones does so well or so terrible. He takes a lot of different ideas. He'll start with one basic thesis, and then, as we heard right there, he suddenly goes crazy with that thesis. He then takes all of these different ideas, combines them all into one big ball of wackiness, and then spits out a lot of vile, like maggots and scum and filth and slime and get out of my country. And I'll tell you, anybody who's listening to that, that isn't attuned to the liberty movement, isn't attuned to libertarianism or whatever, they think that he's just a big whack job, and they think the rest of us fall into that exact same camp.
Absolutely. There was this other video, too, that I wanted to use that actually speaks to that point that you just made. It doesn't seem to be there this time. I wonder where it went. We looked at it today. It was called David.
Oh, the magic of the interwebs.
David Icke, the lizards and the Jews. Did you happen to see that video?
I did, as a matter of fact. I was at work when you put that up for me to look at, and I looked at a little bit of that. And I don't even know what to say about this whole concept of the lizard reptilian class. I think it's kind of cool symbolism.
You think that when David Icke talks about actual reptile aliens, that he's doing it like it's an allegory?
I wish I could say that to be true. I think he actually believes it when he says it. I look at it, and I think any discernible good thinker would take a look at that and say, oh, that is an interesting allegory. These, you know, upper elite, these, you know, higher class, they're like lizards and preying off the rest of us. But I honestly think
blood-sucking.
Blood-sucking, you know, ripping us out of the core and devouring us, basically. But I think when David Icke says it, he really thinks they're giant lizard people like on the TV show V.
Hmm. See, that's the interesting thing, too, because like David Icke was a professional athlete, and then I think he had a career as a legitimate journalist for a while. And I'm kind of wondering if he's just a huckster, somebody who's trying to stay in the spotlight and used this story that is, it's a fun kind of story, right? Like, oh, some people are shape-shifting aliens. Like, isn't that, remember that TV show that we all loved? Some people from the early 80s or whenever, it's kind of like that. So there's this interesting clip, and this is, oh, did I just close the link? Oh, these after shows, I'll tell you. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can pull that up again. All right, I got it.
What we're looking at here is
I just want to skip to this portion of the discussion here. Now, this is from a documentary called David Icke, The Lizards and the Jews, right? So at about 10 minutes into this documentary, one of the interviewees is a young Texan radio host named Alex Jones. And he has, I'm going to actually let this play for a couple of minutes. And I think what he has to say about David Icke and his theories is interesting. And think about it, compare it to what Brian just said about Alex Jones.
Who had tried to uncover the great conspiracy. The subject of David Icke always seems to come up.
So what's David Icke doing on TV?
We have a lot of different producers. You just get tired of the real meat and potatoes, the real issues. So he's gone for all the ridiculous Hollywood stuff of David Icke and the blood-drinking lizard people. So what does David Icke do? He talks about the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, these global elitists, these power structures, all real, all true, all demonstrated by bills and executive orders and prime ministers and premiers and presidents. All real, meat and potatoes, something you can bite into, something that is easily demonstrable. And then you've got David Icke at the end of all this. He says, by the way, they're blood-drinking lizards.
Who's going to have the guts to stand up on a stage and say that reptiles run the world? I mean, who's going to do it? No one's ever going to do it. We're never going to find out, are we? So people were coming up to me and telling me how they had seen people, overwhelmingly in positions of power, though not always, turn in front of their eyes into a reptilian humanoid figure and then go back again. And of course you hear one and you think, ooh. And you hear two and you think, oh my God, back burner. You hear three, you hear four, you hear five, you hear six in different countries. Now these nodules on their head are something that come up again and again. And for some reason, drinking human blood, particularly the blood of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, seems to be very beneficial to holding mammal codes open.
Blood. Al Gore needs blood to drink. So does Prince Philip. I mean, it's asinine. And it's being picked up by people. And so it discredits all the reality that people are talking about. And that's the problem with David Icke. He's got a good line to a point, and then he discredits it all. It's like a turd in the punch bowl. That's his job. He's got this nice big thing, you know, this nice fruit punch, nice ice cubes floating around in it, you know. And then he takes a big dump right in the middle of it, and no one's going to drink out of that punch bowl.
But is he in
league? Oh, wait. Hold on. One more minute.
With them to do that.
I think he knows what he has to do in a controlled world to get away with what he's doing and be given attention. And he's either a smart opportunist con man, or he's completely insane, or he's working for them directly. But I tend to think he's just a con man who understands how things works and is just a real opportunist.
Okay, so that's very interesting. And I tend to agree with Alex Jones' assessment. I mean, taking Alex Jones at face value there, I tend to agree with his assessment of Icke that I don't believe an adult believes this.
Unless he's a very sick individual. I do know that theory has been tossed around that Icke, I can't remember what the deal was, but he had some sort of a medical condition at one point in time. And I know there have been theories out there that this kind of whacked out his brain and made him start believing these wild things. However, at the same time, when he goes on stage, he's selling out these huge venues that are usually reserved for rock stars. So the guy has to be aware of what he's doing. He has to be aware of the bank that he's bringing in by this performance art that he's doing. I think inherently that's what it is, performance art.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that the allegorical approach is interesting. That, you know, one of the things that Alex Jones one of the suspicions, like there's different camps of suspicions about Alex Jones, but one of them relates to something called Zionism. Zionism, first of all, has nothing to do with Judaism, right? It has as much to do with Christianity as like the Ku Klux Klan. Like, maybe they originated, or maybe, no, they didn't originate. Maybe they happen on the same landmass, you know? I mean, like, so when people talk about a Zionist agenda, which is Zionism is a real thing, it's a real ideology, and it certainly has, a trail as well. But one of the things that's always put up as soon as the word is mentioned is anti-Semitism. And the two have nothing to do with each other.
No, they do not, but they always are interconnected.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like there might be some people who are anti-Semitic who grasp onto Zionism and say, ah, see, you know, the blood libel, all that stuff, probably true because this is their plan. It's a secret conspiracy. But I think that you need to make a distinction between the two. And I'm not an expert on this subject, but Alex Jones' avoidance of talking about Zionism is one of the things that has raised red flags for some people. But then on the other hand, and maybe the two are even related, his reluctance to talk about some kind of Jesuit conspiracy also raises these other flags.
I've never quite understood that whole Jesuit conspiracy. I mean, do you have any knowledge of that? Because I know I hear that brought up a lot, that Alex Jones refuses to talk about the Jesuit conspiracy. I've known a lot of Jesuits. I never really found much conspiracy with them. In fact, two of my good friends went to a Jesuit high school, and they turned out just fine.
Well, it wouldn't mean, like, I know a lot of Christians, right? And, you know, George Bush is a Christian, and so is Barack Obama, supposedly, right? So to look at people who exist within a certain, subgroup of people and then apply these attributes to all people in that group is obviously, a logical misstep. So this happens a lot with Freemasons, too. Like, there might have been, and I have seen some very good evidence that there were attempts to infiltrate that organization hundreds of years ago by secretive groups that had plans of, you know, for lack of a better word, world domination. But it doesn't mean that everybody who goes to a Mason's Lodge is in on that kind of a conspiracy. So, and I would say that I don't even know, I'm certainly not an expert on any of these subjects. What I think is interesting, not so much because the problem is that it's very easy to fall down a rabbit hole and just feel totally powerless and totally knowledgeless and totally paranoid and never really be certain of what is true, because once you find something, there might be a whole other lexicon of scholarship that discredits everything that you just found, and it leads to a lot of confusion and paranoia. What I think is important and what I think is the most beneficial and the most instructive is to look at technique. So both David Icke and both Alex Jones have these tells when it comes to how they do things, I think.
What specifically with Alex Jones, what technique are you talking about, Brett? Do you have an example of that? I'd be interested in going a little bit deeper down this little quest.
Okay, so here's one of the things that I see Alex Jones do, and I call this the pile-on approach. So what he will do is he will take to forward his idea of these the global elite, a new world order, general conspiracy. He will take different stories, you know, different. We know they're doing this. We know they're doing that. We have it on. We have it on tape. This is the Washington Times, and he'll start putting together all of these pieces that back up his general theory, not even realizing that they contradict each other to some extent. And I wish I could have a more specific example of that. But the pile-on approach is just to throw so much information at a person that backs up his general hypothesis that you wouldn't even know where to start as far as deconstructing it is concerned.
Brett, you're exactly right. And what that does, I like that, the pile-on approach. What it does is it doesn't allow anyone who is trying to learn from this to truly learn anything. All you're left with is a lot of overwhelming information or disinformation. Like you said, you don't know what to do with it. And then you just kind of walk away saying, you feel helpless. You feel hopeless when you have all of that dumped on you that quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, like, so let's go through some of, Alex Jones, some things that raise red flags for me. First of all, the nebulous conspiracy. The New World Order, right? It never really solidifies into anything concrete, right? Their globalism, New World Order, He explains different facets and different pieces of what it is, but doesn't really do good with context. From my experience, and I've seen his documentaries, right? And I know he goes back and he says, you know, Hitler bombed his own Reichstag building, right? So there's
right.
a historical context. Now, I'm not saying that the things that he's saying are not true. I'm saying if somebody is logically competent and understands, you know, logical fallacies and rhetorical trickery, who are should be the kinds of people that... you know, people who want to spread the truth and kind of save or improve the world should be trying to attract, they're going to see this kind of stuff and say that it's full of holes, or he never really goes beyond these nebulous characterizations of what he's talking about. And when he tries to give these historical context, it's disjoint. I mean, the fact that Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag building has nothing to do with 9/11. It has nothing to do with 9/11. They're unrelated events. That what? Two heads of state manufactured terrorist attacks, 70 years apart. Those events are not related. And when you say something like that, I think that it should alert people to say there are certainly logical problems with this. Brian, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute, and we are going to add a call, okay?
All right.
All right. Hold on one second. Hey, who's this?
This is Dave up in Minneapolis.
Hey, Dave. I'm going to put you on with Brian. Brian, are you there? Hold on a second. We're adding Brian back.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So you're on with Dave in Minneapolis. Dave, how you doing?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm listening to like the Alex Jones thing going on.
Okay.
And, you know, here's my thought about it, is that he's kind of like the worst corner that boxing ever had. So, like, everything has to do with everything, but he never really tells you to, like, what you really got to focus on. You know what I mean?
Okay, like as far as a solution is concerned.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, like, I came up through fighting, and, you know, like when you box and you go to your corner and your corner says, hey, you know what he's doing? He's dropping his elbow, and here's how you respond to it. And you get that answer, and you go fix it, and you go fight it. And what happens with Alex Jones is there's this nebulous stuff that you never have any ability. You can't deal with it. Everybody who's dealt with sports understands this. Like, you know, I'm not like a soccer player, but I'm sure that there's a forward out there that's been told that there's a defenseman that they could just run around. And, you know, he doesn't tell you that. He tells you there's all these problems and they're all interconnected and there's no real, like, you know, no fix.
Okay.
And what we need is a fix.
So Alex Jones, very simply put, in my opinion, this is what I want to explore tonight, and we're going to take some other calls. I think we have somebody who has actually a fair amount of expertise on this calling in relatively soon. Alex Jones is always the first to every one of these stories. You know, I mean, after the death of somebody like Bill Cooper, who kind of scooped him on the 9/11 thing, supposedly. After the death of Bill Cooper, Alex Jones is the first to all of these globalist controller plans. Then the subtext, he gives you all of these pieces of information. Some, they could all be true. In fact, I believe most of them. Hold on one second, guys. I'm going to add one more call. So you're both going to go on hold for a second.
Sure.
Who's this?
Hey, I'm calling in about the Alex Jones thing.
All right, I'm going to add these other guys back to the call with you, see if this works. I hope this works. Yeah. Oh, please. Why wouldn't this work? Okay, great. So your name again, caller?
My name is Murdoch. I'm from the...
Okay, this... Oh, sorry, Murdoch. All right, so we have Murdoch. And Murdoch, where are you?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm here as the anti-Alex Jones. I'm from the skeptical libertarian.
What I was just saying, the things that raise suspicion for me is Alex Jones always gets the scoops on these stories, and then some of the information, if not all of the information on certain stories, could actually be, in its component parts, true information. The subtext right. is always that they, quote, they are too powerful to be stopped. Whether, you know, he says, and we're going to take back the Republic and we're going to fight. But that's that means nothing. That's empty rhetoric. But, you know, what's always being presented, what's always being pushed, even though it's never said, when you talk about vaccinations and controlling Hollywood, is that they are too powerful to be stopped. Oh, wait a minute, folks. We got to go to a commercial. Brian parodied this brilliantly on my show. So get ready for the takeover of the globalist controllers by buying these products.
Right, right. And, you know, there's here's the weird sort of twisted misconception that this whole approach utilizes. There's a couple. Number one is that they, whoever they are, I assume they're the same people who make who they don't want you to know about the natural cures, that whole Kevin Trudeau angle, right? It's this shadowy sort of Illuminati NWO conspiracy. Here's the position you have to take is that these mysterious group, you know, this group of people, whoever they are, they're really, really, really good at controlling global events. Here's the weird thing about that. If you subtract out the non-aggression principle, that makes the best possible argument for the existence of a totalitarian world state that one could possibly make. The reason one of the reasons that government is such a bad idea is because it's so profoundly inept. It's so bad at doing things.
Yeah.
Right? If you accept the principle that there's this group of people who can control global events across time, you know, transnationally and using, you know, 20 or 30 different methods, big pharma and the banks and the education and everything else, right? Then effectively what you're saying is that you can have good human management control. But we know that governments aren't very good at doing anything except getting bigger and making, you know, themselves more powerful.
Yeah, listen, I think that you raised some good points there, but
very good points.
But yeah. I agree with what you're saying in part, but I also don't like to paint with such a broad brush because mm-hmm. like I think one of the first questions that somebody who's coming to the ideas of liberty asks themselves is the government really bad at doing good things, or are they really good at doing bad things, or is it some combination of the two? And I think that it's some combination of the two, because the CIA is awesome at stuff. The Federal Reserve kicks ass at certain things. Yeah, the government
right,
schools aren't good. The trapping people in the permanent underclass with the welfare system, that's not good. So there are two aspects of government. There is a part of government that is set up ostensibly to serve and protect people. And yeah, that part is shit. Okay, but there also is another part of government and other institutions and machinations of government that are set up to serve the powerful, to serve elites, to serve corporations, to serve politicians, to serve unions, and they are killing it. They are awesome. They are,
sure.
I mean, like, you want to really, like, so the NSA doesn't communicate well with the FBI and the CIA. You don't think that all of this technology that we're benefiting from right now wasn't being used by them first? Maybe in some respects, even more efficiently than we know how to use it.
True.
So
your point, yes, the government sucks at doing things that are good, but it's awesome at doing things that are bad. I mean, ask an Iraqi, you know, ask an Afghani, like the government.
Right, but
go ahead.
But if you assume that on principle that there are certain kinds of things that the government is good at doing, any government, right, then it really does, you really run the risk of falling into the trap of saying, well, then clearly the problem is that we just have these bad people and we have to replace them with good people, as opposed to saying, no, this is an institutional problem.
Oh, okay, right? Sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
The thing for me, you know, the conspiracy angle is actually not my primary concern. That is not the thing that, I mean, I love talking about it. And obviously, look, real conspiracies do exist. I don't think you'll find a skeptic anywhere that would deny that, right? You know, 9/11 was a conspiracy in as much as it was a bunch of, like, pissed off Muslims who were angry about our imperialism or the federal government's imperialism. you know, the Tuskegee Airmen act of conspiracy. There are legitimate, you know, cases where there are conspiracies that are, you know, legitimately, genuinely evil, and we like it when that evidence comes out and we can discuss it. The thing that worries me most about Alex Jones and why I think he's so dangerous is because of the anti-science angle, the anti-vaccine in particular angle. And I'm not advocating for, like, forced vaccinations. I'm not saying that the government should be making everyone get, you know, anything. But here's the simple fact of the matter. When you have fewer people getting vaccinations, which no credible scientific study has ever demonstrated that, you know, vaccines cause autism, for example, that's the big talking point, you're going to have kids die. And that's my, you know, this is one of how I think about things. What do we do to keep the fewest amount of children dying? So as a skeptic, I focus on, you know, the vaccine issue. As a libertarian, I focus on the war issue. Right, because those are the two areas where we've got the biggest piles of dead children. So when I see, you know, Alex Jones on his program saying, "Oh, well, we have to stop these kids from getting these vaccines because it's government mind control and it's a brain-eating parasite that's been engineered," blah, 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 blah. I go, Jesus Christ, it'd be one thing if you're just a crazy person. There are a lot of crazy people. That's not a big deal. It's the fact that you're a crazy person with a huge platform who is telling people to not get the best possible medical treatment for their children. And that's where, as a skeptic and a libertarian, I get butthurt.
Brian?
I would like to jump in here for just a moment, though. And I don't want to take on the whole anti-vaccine issue. When H1N1 struck, and we were getting robocalls at our houses from the various CVS, for one, saying, "Hey, we've got your vaccine here for the low, low price of $25. And then I found out from some actual nurses that a lot of places weren't even using an H1N1 vaccine. They were using just a regular flu vaccine. I think there is some validity to, yes, it's a money-making scheme. And I think that's exactly what a lot of it is. But with that said, you're absolutely correct. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't say, because sometimes vaccines are used incorrectly for the incorrect reasons, that means we don't vaccinate against anything because it's all force control and we want to kill all the children and let everybody die because the New World Order lizard Jews are going to devour their bodies. So right. I just want to throw that in because I do think there is some and that's the thing with Alex Jones. I think there's a lot of validity to what he says. He just goes too freaking far.
And that's the thing. You wind up throwing out everything. Right. Because once, like, even in the video where he just flips out at the end. Right. That's just
a video. There's just one. I've seen a lot of videos where he freaks out at the end.
The one we used on the show, which was, I said, a mild example. He'll put something in. And Brian, that's a great point, because he will. What you wind up doing is dismissing a whole area of research because Alex Jones said. You know, so now that to people who are not ready to go as far as Alex Jones wants to take you, which is probably into certain places where you do not need to go, you wind up. I mean, there might be a legitimate investigation to be done into this situation in Colorado. I believe that there is a legitimate investigation needed. Even into 9/11, even though at this point it's pointless and I don't think we're going to learn anything into it. But I'm just saying, from a justice standpoint, I think that that is something that was not investigated properly. And I think there's a lot more to know about that event. But when Alex Jones jumps in front of it, it's just kookery. And that's the end of it.
Right. And, you know, there's another problem, which is that Jones does not seem to understand how to cite sources, right? So he runs a tiny, you know, empire of three or four different websites or whatever that are all his. And so he'll post something in InfoWars and he'll say, "As it has been reported elsewhere," and there'll be a hyperlink, and you click on that link from InfoWars and it takes you to Prison Planet. Well, you can't do that. Right, naturalnews.com does that all the time, where they're like, you know, "We know that beet juice can cure cancer, as cited in this study," and then you click on the link, and it's another Natural News article. You know, I mean, that's not how citation works. And he always says, like, "Well, I've got the government documents, blah, 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 blah." I've never actually seen any of these government documents that he purports to have about how, you know, he's demonstrating that you know, MK Ultra something something something. I mean, it's always this sort of nebulous thing about like, well, I have the evidence, and you just need to trust me. And then the other thing that's like creepy is like, there's always this thing about Big Pharma, right? Like the Big Pharma, like all they really, they're just out to make profits. They want to make you sick so that you'll be sick and need more of their products. And I understand that business model. It seems pretty ingenious. But if you look, like all of Alex Jones's sponsors are people selling alternative medicine, right? Like colloidal silver. Yeah. No credible evidence for colloidal silver that it does anything at all. It could turn you blue if you take too much of it, right? Well, those people are trying to make a profit too. Yeah.
I could get in here for a minute.
Sure.
I mean, what you guys are, I mean, what I'm hearing and what I'm understanding is everybody understands that, like, the language and the information could be questionable, but what I get really fed up is what's actionable. I want to, like, you know, I hate the metaphor, but it's such a sports thing. Like, you want to go back to your coach, and your coach tell you, like, well, you need to swing a little better with that baseball bat. You got to, like, keep it a little tighter or something. You know, and I just don't get that. What I get is there's all this crazy stuff going on, and you can't do anything about it, and the end of the world is coming, and there's nothing you can do, and you're helpless, and therefore the end of the world is nigh, and, you know, pile up the ammunition and the food, and there's nothing there that's actionable.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, Alex Jones' solution to everything is make sure that you tune in tomorrow and buy colloidal silver and homeopathy products that are advertised on our website.
Let me throw something in here real quick. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but for a career, I'm a radio guy. I've been doing it for 21 years. And Alex Jones is one hell of a radio guy. In fact, I've learned his style just from listening to him. And I think he runs a hell of a good radio show. But that's where it ends. That's where we need to sit back and say, this is a radio show. This is entertainment. Let's take these ideas now. Let's research them on our own. And let's be logical with what this entertainer has given to us today.
Well, part of what he's given us, though, is that when I try to talk to people about the ideas of liberty, right, I mean, there's a certain segment of the population that their immediate response to that is, oh, you're one of those Alex Jones nutters, right?
Oh, yeah.
No. You hate the government, so you must think the government did 9/11, or I mean, something like that, right?
The same thing happened with Glenn Beck.
Yeah. And so then I have to take steps to say, no. I mean, that's why the Skeptical Libertarian as a movement and as a website exists, right? Because we needed to have an organized reaction against that.
Yes.
Murdoch, let's talk to you just a little bit more, and then, like, the phone has kind of been ringing off the hook. So,
sure.
Brian's going to stay on with me. I asked him to do the show with me tonight, and we'll bring somebody else in. But, I want to make sure we don't go too far in the other direction, because Alex Jones as disinformation, just like Alex Jones was being critical of David Icke, which I thought was ironic. I don't know if you heard that before you called in. But you put out a bunch of stuff. A friend of mine, Paul Verge, who lives up in Vancouver, I think, made a documentary called Believers Beware that he wanted to interview me for. And I was so excited to do this, to be interviewed for a documentary. I'm sitting there in front of a bookshelf and, people want to hear, what Brett has to say in a doc. It was a big thrill for me. So the trailer comes out, and it still is. And this is going to sound like I'm being critical of Paul, but I'm not, because it was more than anything, it was amusing. The trailer comes out for the movie, and guess who the interviewee in the trailer is right before me? David fucking Icke.
Oh, no.
So I bring this up with I think Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope was one of the producers of the film, and I say, yeah, this is not good. I'm concerned about my credibility, and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And Paul wound up saying eventually, it's like, until he says the lizard thing, the guy makes a lot of sense. And I was thinking, yes, exactly. Everything he says could be perfectly true and totally groundbreaking. until he says the lizard thing and discredits all of it. So that is the point you are speaking to, Murdoch. When somebody raises questions about, you know, the legitimacy of the state or the activities of the federal governments, local governments, law enforcement, the police state, Homeland Security, and immediately now, because Alex Jones, InfoWars, Prison Planet, and the like have the kind of exposure they do in the mainstream, because Alex Jones pops into the mainstream media once in a while as well, He has sort of jumped out in front of Ron. He jumped right out in front of Ron Paul, for sure.
Right.
So,
and you know, part of the thing, it wouldn't be. I don't have a problem with conspiracies per se. I don't have a problem with alternative medicine per se. As a skeptic, what I care about is like evidence, like real, you know, credible evidence. So I'm just going to, you know, pick, because it was something in my Facebook earlier, the topic of fluoridation of the water, leaving aside the question of whether or not the government should do it or whatever. Everyone goes, hey, look, fluoride is a known neurotoxin. Would you drink, you know, a gallon of water that was composed half of a known neurotoxin? And you go, no, of course I wouldn't. But I also wouldn't drink a gallon of water that was composed of half salt, and we all put delicious salt on all of our food because it's wonderful and delicious. Everything is toxic at some level, and when you only say it's toxic without talking about dosages or at what point a thing becomes dangerous, you can overdose on salt, you can overdose on vitamin A, it's called hypervitaminosis A, you can overdose on oxygen under certain circumstances. Similarly, you can have like microscopic amounts of like potassium cyanide in your body, and your kidneys will just metabolize it and pass it through, and it'll be safe. When you call something a toxin without referring to at what level toxicity occurs, it discredits your understanding of science, and for other people who don't understand science, it fills their heads with misinformation. And I think that's the thing as a skeptic that really makes me uncomfortable. As a libertarian, it makes me uncomfortable because he makes the movement look like a bunch of clowns. As a skeptic, it bothers me because he spouts out so much anti-science and pseudoscience and conspiracy nonsense, you know, about, you know, and I'm not even convinced, I haven't really seen the numbers on this, but reliable, credible people that I have talked to about this will tell you that the big pharma doesn't really make that much money on vaccines, like practically nothing, really. It is, your kid is worth more to them. Sick, you know, treating the measles is way more profitable to them than making sure your kid never gets the measles.
But
right?
Isn't that, that's speaking to what that Alex...
enter into the Alex Jones universe.
Wait, what was the last thing you said? Sorry, the last sentence?
That's a concept that doesn't enter into the Alex Jones universe.
But isn't that what he's saying, that the pharmaceutical companies are just in the business of keeping people sick? Isn't his version just a slightly more hysterical and sensationalized version of what you just said?
Well, what I'm saying is that if the goal of Big Pharma was to just make money at the expense of sick people, and with no regard for health. Like, if they just wanted people to be sick, then the best thing they could possibly do is just stop making vaccinations, because they could make medicine that would keep most people who got, for example, pertussis, from dying of pertussis, right? But that would yield way more money for them than the pertussis vaccine does.
Okay, yeah.
That's a really good point. That's a very good point.
But it makes more sense to ignore the economics of that. If your goal is to promote, you know, the scary agenda of Big Pharma, let's just ignore the economics of it and talk about, you know, how you know, terrifying this group of people is. And I'm not here as a shill for Big Pharma. I work at Walmart. I don't work for Big Pharma. I don't own stock in any pharmaceutical companies. I'm not shilling for anyone. I'm just shilling for science, right? The scientific method, for skepticism and for critical thinking. And that's what we do as a skeptical libertarian.
Okay, so, yeah, and when Alex Jones says something like, you know, I feel bad for the people who are so asleep, you know, which means that they don't agree with him. And, I've heard stories. There's a radio host that I feel is vetted, in my opinion, because of mutual friends, a guy down in Texas named Jack Blood, who, you know, talked about Alex Jones was into shutting everybody down who didn't agree. You know, everybody who was somewhat like-minded and somewhat local, you know, in the media, and Jack Blood was one of the targets for this. If you don't agree with Alex Jones, if you're not doing the Alex Jones talking points, you've got to go. You've got to be destroyed. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay. I will just mention, I don't know if this was anywhere on your radar, at the most recent Pork Fest, a buddy, by buddy, I mean Facebook friend, a Facebook friend of mine, had a debate with one of Alex Jones's people on the conspiracy movement. There's a guy named Austin Peterson. So, you know, they had this debate about, you know, conspiracies and are they good for the movement and blah, 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 blah.
Him and Danny.
And afterwards, Alex goes on this huge, like a 10-minute rant about how Austin is like Carl Rove and he's trying to control the debate. And, and he called him Justin Bieber because, he's a good-looking kid or whatever. Oh, he's like Justin Bieber. He compared him to Leif Garrett.
I thought that was completely despicable. He starts making these personal attacks on Austin. And, hey, Austin and I have some disagreements. We've discussed things. I consider him a friend of mine. But I'm not going to make fun of him. I'm not going to sit there and, like, call him out and say he's got a bad haircut.
Right.
As far as I can tell, I mean, Austin is a decent guy. He's very, like, inside the system with his activism, which is not really my style. But I don't, take shots at people for their activism just because it's different than mine. So this is someone who should potentially be an ideological ally. But he says, well, I don't think necessarily that conspiracy theories, about chemtrails are particularly good for the movement. And Jones tears the guy off, a new one for 10 minutes. And it's all like showing the guy's headshot and, comparing him to 70s pop idols. And it's like there's no substance at all, right? It was just an insane rant. And he's excellent at the insane rant.
Ad hominem, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, Alex Jones is utilizing, and one of the things that that drew my attention to Technique was he seemed to be utilizing a lot of the same trickery as the mainstream media and his politicians. You know, the way he chants, he yells, he uses these intonations and inflections. And it's, I mean, he has a lot of experience. He's been doing radio since the mid-90s, if not earlier. I mean, he's learned how to use his voice and his persona to be persuasive to his audience. And he knows who his audience is. He knows the things that he does get a response from certain type of people, and that number of people has grown. But you're right, that is like logical fallacy number one, the ad hominem attack. Now, if you were at Pork Fest, I don't know if you saw me and Brian's little performance.
I wasn't there. I was just skeptical libertarian people were sort of friends with Austin, and he was there and unofficially representing us. So I was very much, involved in watching the debate and helping him prepare for it to the extent that I had anything useful to tell him, which was almost nothing.
Well, you could check it out on my podcast if you're interested, because it was something that we were pretty proud of. There was a podcast called Wheels Off Liberty, and the two hosts of the show were supposed to come from Oklahoma, and they last minute they both canceled. And what we decided to do, as you've noticed from listening to Brian's voice, and being a professional radio guy, he can pull off a pretty decent Alex Jones. So what we decided to do was out Wheels Off Liberty as co-Intel pro who had been created to discredit the libertarian movement. And this event, this story was moderated by Brian, who played Alex Jones. I think it's podcast 149. It's in my podcast feed on School Sucks, and you might get a kick out of it if you have time for stuff like that. But
I always have time for your podcast.
Okay, great. So I recommend checking it out. And we also did a similar show earlier, maybe 10, 15 episodes back, like 134 or something like that, where I was on Brian's podcast. But I didn't want to pigeonhole Brian into all things Alex Jones, but like this is a story that has been on my mind quite a bit this week, so I wanted to discuss it, in light of this Colorado shooting, which I think is interesting, and the story scares me a little bit. But also I want to return, just before we let you go, Murdoch, to the piling on. right? Where Alex Jones will throw so many things at you that you're too exhausted mentally to refute them point by point. So there's an article on Disinfo called Questioning the Conspiracy, the Aurora Shootings. And it goes through point by point, and it talks about, you know, let's look at some of the points being raised by those who believe a government conspiracy was behind the Aurora shootings. So this would be, I think there's 9 of these things, and this Alex Jones would throw this at you in a minute and 30 seconds. And the average person wouldn't know what to do. So I'm just going to try and go through a few of these quickly. Brian, if you want to comment, Murdoch, if you want to comment, just jump in. Okay. Number one. Everyone remembers James Holmes as a happy, normal fellow, so he couldn't have done this unless he was coerced through mind control technology. Disregarding mind control MKUltra talk, this is the hoariest cliche in crime reportage. He was such a good neighbor, such a quiet fellow. You'd never think he'd do such a thing. So it then goes on to talk about, and then there's sources cited here, you know, schoolmates talking about him as strange, a little off. In the process, he was withdrawing from
a gun club. Wouldn't let him join, right? I saw that article somewhere.
Right.
He tried to join a gun club, and they were like, no, you're weird. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They said his voicemail message was really creepy.
They said he had a profile on Adult Friend Finder that said, will you visit me in prison? So it's like a.
I have a lot of weird things on my Adult Friend Finder profile. That doesn't mean I'm going to shoot up a bunch of people.
Hey, no, that's exactly right. He had that great picture of Keeley Hazel behind him. I was like, kudos to you on the Photoshop, man. I like to have Keeley in my apartment too.
Yeah, but that it says on the profile, "Will you visit me in prison?" might raise an eyebrow or two. Okay, number two. There's no way this guy could have gotten all those weapons and that tactical gear. I'm nowhere near, or it says, not a chance. I'm nowhere near that wealthy. I own 3 firearms. I'm nowhere near wealthy. I own 3 firearms myself, upon which I've spent about $600. I could easily acquire a shotgun and a rifle, maybe a couple for a couple thousand more if I look around town. And that's not even including the internet, where apparently Holmes did much of his shopping. The gas mask, I own one myself. Fully functional Russian surplus, bought it for a Halloween costume. So another thing that was being pushed on the Prison Planet news show is that this was all tactical gear that could not have been obtained by a civilian. It's perfectly legal to buy a bulletproof vest, and you can do so in many places online or locally. Same thing with any other protective gear. Number three, someone must have trained him how to use it all. Not necessarily at all. I know how to strap on protective gear. I bet you could do so also. Firearm training. Also unnecessary, I think, to shoot wildly at a movie theater, not to make light of what happened, but people sitting 8 inches apart from each other in a packed theater on opening nights. You don't need
to be
a marksman.
Require a sharpshooter.
Yeah, you don't
right,
need to be a
5-year-old could do it
to hit 10 people. Right. Okay. Or I know he hit like 60 or 70 people. Somebody must have let him in. Yes, that's definitely possible. We think he came in through an emergency exit, from what I understand. Someone might have agreed to do so, thinking he just wanted to sneak into a movie for free, or maybe someone left it open on accident. Perhaps Holmes himself had come in at some point prior and left it open, or maybe pried the door open from the other side. I think that's a minor point. We don't have to go through all of these, but there's 9 refutations to some of the points that would be thrown at a person in 60 seconds where they could not even organize their thoughts in a way where they could critically analyze them point by point. And I think that this piling on technique is very common when Alex Jones starts his, we know it, we have it, Washington Times, London, the London Telegraph. And he'll start listing all of these things, and then he'll bring in some totally different conspiracy theory, and he'll just leave a person so disoriented. And plus, you put people into this emotional state. Another technique of propaganda. We talked about this as a cognitive bias at the very beginning of the show today. Suggestibility. You reduce somebody to a point where where they're thinking very emotionally, which means they're not thinking logically. Alex Jones uses excitement. He uses fear. And when he gets you into that position, these kinds of people, the kinds of people who watch the Alex Jones show, become much more suggestible. You know? So...
Right. Well, from the skeptic community, we have a name. We have a name for this approach. Okay, it's called the Gish Gallop. Now, Dwayne Gish is a creationist, a prominent creationist, and for a period of time, skeptics and, you know, pro-science advocates would go and have debates with Duane Gish. And here's what they learned over time that he would do. This was a part of our, like, strategic evolution in terms of, like, how we try and talk to people. Duane Gish would have, in a formal debate, whatever, 3 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever to make his point. And he would throw out so many lies, half-truths, misunderstandings of the material, and so on and so forth, that when it was your turn to get up, you couldn't possibly respond to everything that he just said, and also then make your own point. You couldn't correct. You know, it would take you 25 minutes to fix everything he got wrong in 10. So there's no way you're going to be able to get up and address all of that and then also make your own point that you had prepared, right?
I think, yeah, I think
so. This
could...
is and so Eugenie Scott from the National Center for Science Education coined this, the Gish Gallop, and Jones is an expert at it.
Yeah.
It's one of his primary rhetorical devices.
Yeah, I think it's certainly, we see this plenty in political debates as well. Another thing too is to control the box. I talked about this on a recent show, to control the universe that the discussion is taking place in, where, you know, you present certain choices and you give somebody an either or, a this or that. But you can steer them towards the conclusion you want. I mean, and if you're watching the Alex Jones show, or you're watching the Chris Matthews show, or you're watching the Bill O'Reilly show, you're already in the box, because you're already, you know, evidencing that you are susceptible, that you are attracted, unless you're watching that to do some kind of critical exercise. Like I try to do sometimes with all those types of shows, to just watch it, to pause it, and then tear it apart to keep myself sharp. It's something that I recommend people do. They know that they have you. If you're, and I even think that this might make me a little lazier than I should be sometimes. Like, I can screw up here and there, or I can, I don't want to say phone it in, but I know that the people who are tuning into me are already on my side. So I used to give I used to give myself a really hard time about, you know, making mistakes, or really, really being rigorous, which I think I should do as far as accuracy is concerned. And I would really, really kick myself if I made a mistake, and I would really spend a lot of time editing and fine tuning things. And, you know, sometimes I would just tell myself, you know, if somebody's listening, they're already on my side. You know, they're already in my corner. And that's lazy, and I'm not saying that that's okay. But, you know, I think that these guys know, hey, if somebody's tuning into me, I've already got them. I control the conversation. I control the box. So,
right, and with Jones, I mean, a great example of it is here's the false choice that he gives you, right? It's either the global elite or whatever, the conspiracy exists, you know, either it's the case that, you know, there's a network of, you know, politicians and banksters and pharmaceutical representatives who are secretly controlling everything, or that government is fine and we should all just go about our business. Well, that's a false choice. Government can be evil and stupid and wrong and fucked up without there being a giant, you know, conspiracy that's controlling everything, right?
I'm gonna let you go. My phone is blowing, or it was blowing up a second ago. So I'm gonna try and put somebody else on. But thank you so much.
I certainly appreciate all of the time that you've let me have.
Brian, did you?
And Murdoch, I just wanted to say I really appreciate all your posts on Facebook. I love your stuff. I respond to you a lot, and it was great talking to you tonight.
Thanks, and everybody check out theskepticallibertarian.com and like us on Facebook. And Brett, thank you so much for everything that you've done. You totally revolutionized and radicalized my thinking right as my son was being born, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate all the work that you do.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Murdoch. I really appreciate that. I hope to hear from you in the future. And, you know, send me some links to what you're doing. Just Facebook message me, and maybe we can get a show topic out of it in the future.
That would be terrific, and I'd love to have you on when the Skeptical Libertarian podcast launches.
All right, absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
Take care. You too. Bye.
Okay. So, Brian, can we get your video back, you think?
Yeah, I think we can. What I got was a message from Skype saying, when there's more than one call, I can't have my video up because I don't have the paid format.
Oh, okay. See if you can activate. Oh, wait. It shut my video off, too. All right. There's my video. Here it comes. There you are.
There I am.
All right. Let's see if I still have you framed up properly. It's going to take a minute for the resolution to be perfect. Okay. So that was interesting. So I'm going to go to the chat real quick here. This is the most lively that the chat has ever been, which makes me really happy. I wish it was like this for every after show. Somebody writes in, everybody on here today, I let people log in now without actually signing in so they don't get kicked out if they refresh. So everyone's just in as Ustreamer.
I see.
But Corbett Report had a guest on. Corbett Report is part of the Tragedy and Hope network of shows, which School Sucks is in as well. James Corbett. I really like him. He's a good media analyst. Had a guest on who claimed that a person at the theater saw someone get out of their seat on their cell phone and prop open the emergency door 15 minutes before the shooter came in. All right, so
that's been publicized in a few of the mainstream publications too. I know that's something they're still investigating.
Yeah. Okay. So that, I mean, that's an eyewitness, which you can take or leave. I mean, it's interesting. It's. I'd like to see if more people have a similar story, or it's, you know, I think a lot of people who come forward in these kinds of things might be people who just want attention. I'm not saying that that's what that person is, but it's certainly not definitive proof of anything. And believe me, I have no dog in this fight at all. I mean, I'm perfectly willing to entertain the idea that there's a lot more to this story. And I think, you know, the timeliness of the whole UN small arms treaty is right. Interesting. And but you know, that that correlation does not necessarily establish causation. So.
Well, let me go back for just a moment though about the whole propping the door open. One of the theories is it was himself, the shooter himself. He had sat in the front row, pretended to take the phone call, then opened the door, then came back with the gear because he couldn't really walk through the main entrance wearing all of that stuff. That would make sense. I mean, that's kind of a logical explanation of what happened there.
Okay, sure. And the fake phone call for like a reason to go out the emergency door.
Right, not to call attention right away to himself.
Okay. Sure. Or, you know, you could get, I mean, you know, MK Ultra was a real thing, you know,
like yeah, exactly, that happened. Yeah.
So when people use the phrase MK Ultra and then it dismisses, you know, the entire investigation, into there being more to this story, I think that's unfair because MK Ultra is something that happened. There is documentation of that. I know Murdoch was talking about Alex Jones' lack of documentation. I mean, I've seen the Northwood stuff. I've seen, you know, some of the CIA mind control stuff. I mean, these were people who tried to do telekinesis. They are weirdos. They are sheltered people who hang out with each other, and that makes you very weird when you start doing stuff like that.
And here's my thing about MK Ultra, and here's that line I walk, because I know you had said to me earlier about seeing some of my posts on Facebook this week about the shooter. You know, I think that things like this are a good example and a good reminder that those things have happened. I think if they have happened, they're probably continuing in one form or another within our government. That's not to say that that's what this case is, but I think it's always a good reminder to know that the government is doing some nefarious things out there. It's been proven they have. Why wouldn't they continue doing it now? And I just think it's a good thing that we should all be aware of, that the government does do some really, 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 really evil things sometimes.
Why wouldn't they be better at it? I mean, this goes back to our original point, you know, my original point of contention with Murdoch there, that, yeah, the government sucks at doing good things, but they're pretty good at doing bad things. They have a lot of practice. And on the last show, we were talking about sort of the evolution of the control of education at a federal level. No Child Left Behind, outcome-based education, behaviorism, the work of John Dewey. This goes back 100 years, and it's been an evolutionary process for them. And of course, a de-evolutionary process in the sense of what's right and what's decent. But yeah, I mean, they do perfect a lot of these things that they try to do. All right, so let me jump back to the chat here. Okay, the same user says, whatever, it's Brett, what do you think of the Peace Revolution content? And it's a reference to Peace Revolution podcast. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not, to be honest with you.
Peace Revolution podcast is done by my friend Richard Grove. And the first podcast that Richard did was actually about 9/11. It was the first podcast that I ever listened to. It was called 9/11 Synchronicity. And the criticism that I mean, it was a masterfully produced show, very engaging. He is a brilliant guy who has a real good presentation style, and the production quality of the show was very good. But I felt like after I stopped listening to it, I think around 10 or 12 episodes, because I thought that it was getting to be too, the conspiracy was getting too big. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that it wasn't true, but it just wasn't. There was nothing empowering about it for me. This was maybe 5-6 years ago. He came back recently, like within the last 2 years, with something called the Peace Revolution podcast, which was all about intellectual self-defense, a phrase I stole from him, critical thinking, you know, understanding the rhetorical trickery that is used to control people. And it, and I found it to be a far more constructive and empowering show. And I think in some respects, it's trying to do some of the same things that my show is trying to do. And because of his experience and his intelligence and his resources, probably doing it better than I am. And it was actually one of the reasons why I shifted the focus of my show to something that it doesn't mean that I still don't want to do big productions like the American Way series. But what I thought would be a good complement to something like push people to listen to the Peace Revolution podcast. If some of it is too much for you, if you if you don't agree with it, then you know do your own research. Those guys are certainly open to your comments, your criticism. If you want to discuss your objections with them, I bet they would really enjoy that. So, I mean, my feelings about the Peace Revolution podcast is very positive. There's a lot of crossover between their audience and mine. And I've adapted the format of my show to do something a little bit, to not try to do the same thing that they do, which is, you know, really thorough research and context. And, you know, I've tried to make my show lighter and more YouTube-friendly, more youth-friendly. Not that their show isn't something that couldn't be understood or processed by young people. But, you know, we've done this lighter, more conversational live show for the last few months. It doesn't mean it's the only thing that we're going to do. In fact, you know, I still have the series about logical fallacies that I want to do. But, you know, I want to be more of a complement to a show like that, to a show like Free Domain Radio, and I don't want to be doing the same thing and trying to you know, compete with them directly with the same stuff. So I'd like our shows to work together, and if people want, you know, more in-depth investigations of certain things, like Gatto did in his book The Underground History of American Education, go there. So just to a few more comments.
You really do run a great show, though, Brett. I want to tell you that. And you talking about just how cerebral that show is. You have a very cerebral show, and I really appreciate that, and I respect that. On my show, The Fajita Fun Time, I basically just sit in my underwear. Sometimes I'm completely naked, and I just kind of ramble on about what I've been doing that night, making fajitas, and then I kind of scream about people taking away my liberties, and then I look at pictures of Ashley Tisdale, and I drink, and I'm done.
the last couple shows, or the one before, was brilliant with the moldy tea pitcher that was working for the for the Obama administration. I thought that was just like genius. I like your show. I think your show is great. But there's a market for that. You know, there was an absence of comedy in you know, in this whole liberty movement podcast world. And, you know, we have this show Wheels Off Liberty, which is a dumb show. you know, those guys aren't geniuses, but they're on point with the message, and they make people laugh. So in the absence of that, I said to the guys who do the live show with me, after we're done with the regular show, let's do a comedy show and let's talk about dicks and stuff. And we'll see where that goes, and we'll see if people like it. Maybe we can get some subscribers over from the Wheels Off Liberty. But, you know, your show is free, and it certainly, I think it fills that void. So I hope you keep doing it. I really enjoy it, and I've laughed really hard a few times listening to it, for sure. At least once an episode, you get a...
No, I enjoy doing the show, and it's just lighthearted.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people, maybe a few people who are listening. How many, let me see how we're doing here. Hold on a second.
Sure.
Someone asks, good question, Brett. What do you think of the more controversial elements of Peace Revolution content? If you're still logged on, the Ustreamer 499863, and you want to expand on that, and then you also say 9/11 synchronicities did not offer the value that Peace Revolution offers, both for Brett and most of us. Okay, so if that person is still online and they want to talk about the more controversial elements of this show, I'd be happy to do that. Brian, the other thing that I wanted to do as far as this whole Alex Jones story was concerned was I wanted to play this video that we found of that I found today, actually, of a couple of our friends who are doing a Second Amendment rally at the Capitol in Austin. This is John Bush and now his fiance, Catherine Bleich. And
they're beautiful, baby.
Yep. And their whole event is just completely sabotaged by Alex Jones, who just appears out of nowhere with a blowhorn and takes over their event, and then claims that they are controlled opposition. Yeah. So
I didn't know them at the time. I knew Tracy Ward from Kansas City, and she was been really good friends with Catherine Bleich. They were both doing Liberty Restoration Project together. And I was really excited to learn about Kat, learn about John Bush, tag Tech for Accountable Government. And I remember these kids are doing some good out there. They're doing some great stuff. I was also a avid Alex Jones listener at that time. Well, all of a sudden, this happened.
Hey, Brian, hold on a second.
You have Alex Jones changed.
Can you hear me? Your connection's a little screwed up. I'm going to drop you and call you right back and see if that improves it. Sometimes that happens on Skype. You're in and out there a little bit, so I'll call you right back. Okay, everybody, it's just me and you right now. This is the first time we've ever been alone on this show. Do you like it? It's terrifying. Okay, where did he go? Oh, there he is. Okay. All right. I'm going to try to get Brian back on the line here. Let's try it. Let's just try it without video. And you actually sound really good now. So,
yeah, I know how Skype kind of does it. It like bottles up or something.
Yeah. Well, how many users are online right now? I forget how to check. The other day I was doing a show with Wes Bertrand, and there was like 50 million people online.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, it used to be, I mean, we did shows years ago, and it was like, I think he was saying it was usually around 9 to 11 million on Skype at any given time. So, yeah, it's a handy site, though, and it's not 100% reliable, but for what we use it for, it's been pretty good. So can you just recap what you were saying there real quick?
John and Kat, yeah, let me recap that for a moment. I had just got into John and Kat's work, and I thought these kids are doing some great, great work for Liberty. At the same time, I was an avid Alex Jones listener. I did not miss Alex. I had him in my MP3 player and everything, always listening to him in my pickup truck. Well, this incident happened, and that was the moment where I realized I had to pick sides, and that was where I really began to question everything about Alex Jones.
Yeah, you had seen that before I showed it to you today.
I saw it, 2 years ago, something like that? And I saw it the day it came out. Tracy Ward out of Kansas City, who ran for city council, everyone knows her, she's the pink-haired girl. She sent me the video right away and said, yikes, can you believe this happened? And I remember I was just absolutely appalled, and I showed it to a really dear liberal friend of mine, Rachel, who had been telling me that I was changing my personality because I was listening to so much Alex Jones. And I remember she said right then and there, what do you think of this guy now? And I said, I just can't respect him.
Yeah, I mean, when you see this or you hear this, actually, I'm gonna play the clip and then we can comment on a little bit. But this was apparently a couple of years ago. John Bush and Catherine Bleich.
In one day.
Sorry, wrong one. Hold on 1 minute.
So I do have some other insight into this, too, that didn't make the video.
Okay, so I'm going to let this play, and then we will come back and discuss.
But I had to hang up on the guy and delay him out, because there's no point in letting him put out his COINTELPRO. What's COINTELPRO? According to FBI records, COINTELPRO resources were expended on infiltrating, disrupting, marginalizing, and or subverting groups suspected of being subversive. I can't tell you how many times I've just gone to any political event.
Constantly put on the defensive against the federal government. Every single time. Be it the FCC coming to town and trying to shut down our local micro broadcaster. Be it the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
All right, so you just see Alex Jones walk up, and he observes what's going on and just jumps on his blowhorn. This is all captured by, obviously, amateur photography. Now, just so no one's confused, if you're only getting the audio of this, I recognize that my video presentation here is not going perfectly well. The video looks a little washed out on the camera. he is cutting back and forth. The person who made this video, it's called Alex Jones Blows His Cover in Austin, if you want to watch it yourself. He's cutting back and forth between this actual incident that Alex Jones is appearing to be the COINTELPRO agent provocateur figure with Alex Jones explaining what COINTELPRO is, which is an interesting juxtaposition, obviously. So we'll continue.
Coming to town and trying to shut down and train the police officers to do blood withdrawals, be it the BATF now.
That's an example of COINTELPRO. Here's another great example of COINTELPRO.
You are not going to get away with your activities. You are not going to get away.
Hey, ladies, the Second First Amendment. Get the hell out of my face.
I'm out of here right now.
What'd you say, Brian?
I said he's yelling at Kat right there. If you don't mind just me jumping in real quick to narrate that for just a second. What happened is, yeah, John Bush is up on the steps there at the Capitol in Austin. And here comes Alex, like you described, on his blowhorn. And they're pleading for him to come up and join their rally, which they had spent a lot of time organizing. They had told Alex Jones about it. They had invited him to come to it and be a part of it. They were hoping to have his celebrity lent to their rally for the Second Amendment. He knew about it. He staged coming down the street at that very same time just to drown these young activists out. If there's nothing more COINTELPRO than that, I don't know what is. Continue.
All right. Yeah, I agree. This was a really upsetting video the first time I saw it, for sure.
Out of my face. I'm here to tell you right now that we are not your property.
You're not part of the team. You're not part of the team.
I mean, I almost started crying last night when I was at that demonstration and I saw these families bringing their children up to me for me to shake their hand, and I just look at their innocence.
He's trying to take over our rally that a lot of people worked on.
Is that once they cause all the infighting and division and problems, then everyone spends their time on that, and then you can't expand your organizations. And every time I go to a big city and see provocateurs, I've seen it in Austin.
Are you ready to work on?
That's COINTELPRO, playing that against people, creating racial division, infiltrating groups, trying to radicalize them, trying to get people to commit acts of violence so they can put them in prison.
You have never had more solid evidence that Alex Jones is working for the bad guys than right here, right now. Because what he's doing, he's coming to a peaceful rally, he's trying to stir up violence.
They want to radicalize mainline libertarians, conservatives, so we can be politically demonized, so we don't become mainstream and take our country back.
Us look like lunatics. Number one. Number two, he gets us divided amongst ourselves.
The reason I know is my dad came to the protest. I didn't notice him. Because the whole time I was there, I had like COINTELPRO poking me and getting in my face. They send in people to cause violence. They spread lies about you.
I'm here being
we wanted to give you a speaking spot, but instead of working with us, you're sitting here and yelling
That's a diversion. That's a diversion. Pure diversion. Wow. That's guilty.
If you're not,
that's guilty. That's guilty.
And now you are acting like it's appropriate to just come in here and climb right on top of us.
Don't worry. Like COINTEL.
So how is Robin?
Exactly like COINTEL.
Pretty awesome.
No, you should be lifting us up and empowering us instead of holding us.
I wasn't lifted up or empowered.
When you see them demonizing people like Ron Paul, myself, and others, you know it is a COINTELPRO operation. We, the patriots, the constitutionalists, we're the good guys. We're trying to save the republic. And anybody that stands against that is a treasonous, traitorous, larcenist enemy of humanity.
Holy shit, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
That's exactly what he says.
False dichotomy. Okay, that's another big logical fallacy. And that's the box. Well, you're in the box if you're watching this, though.
I want you to know, too, Brett, I don't know if you know this, but some of those comments that he's making about COINTELPRO are directly aimed at Catherine Blash and John Bush.
He's actually
talking about that moment after the rally. His poor father was there, and this COINTELPRO was in his face. It's little Catherine Blash who's saying, Alex, why? That's his idea of COINTELPRO.
Right. Yeah.
And then he went on over to a city park where all the media was. He got on camera with everybody, all the local TV channels. And then at one point in time, he apparently looked at the leader of the Texas Libertarian Party, the president or whatever, chairman, who was wearing a pink shirt and said, "Who's that fag in the pink shirt?" Yeah, that's a real good way to bridge gaps and bring people together.
Interesting. So we got about a minute left to this, and then we'll get some additional thoughts.
Period.
Either you're with us, or you're with the enemy.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that was... I forgot. Okay. Here we go.
There's no in-between. You're either with us, or you're with the enemy. That's clear.
But getting back to COINTELPRO, infiltrate your group, and we need to incite violence to run off reasonable pacifists in your group, and so we can have you arrested and, quote, break up your group. They also want to radicalize the message. Get up! Get moving! Get moving, soldier! Defend the republic!
No! You had to move it! No! He wants to put us in camp! Yeah, no one's going to have to move it!
You know you are good. You know, listening, that you're not COINTELPRO. You're because that's how COINTELPRO works so well. I'm the real thing. Do you have any discernment out there?
Oh, okay. So you said you still might have some additional context for this, Brian?
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, too, there at the very end where he's screaming about she wants to put us in camps, he's talking about Michelle Malkin,
right?
Whom I don't agree with on anything Michelle Malkin has to say, but he showed up apparently at a Michelle Malkin rally, too, just to cause problems. That's one of the problems with Alex Jones, and there are other activists out there who have modeled themselves after him. Well, they go out picking a fight, and they wonder why the scenario ends up the way it does. What other scenario is going to come out of it? If you're picking a fight, there's going to be violence, and they start it themselves. He's a good example of that.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, it's a haunting video. I mean, if you've only ever just seen him on his TV show, or if you had been following his work for some time. Now, I mean, I've seen all his documentaries, and I know he's certainly an alarmist, and there's problems with what he does. But if you start to look at some of these telltale signs of, at the very best, in my opinion, at this point, being kind of a huckster, and at the very worst, being it was so hard. I mean, I spent a lot of time today trying to nail something down. But I couldn't find anything that I found to be credible because it was all just saying, well, he's a Zionist or, well, he's a Jesuit.
Or he's Bill Hicks. Did you come across that one?
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, that's a great one. That Bill Hicks died and the CIA reinvented him as Alex Jones.
That's, yeah.
It's a real theory.
When you say the CIA reinvented him, like the Bill Hicks type character?
No, no, no. It really is Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks never actually died. The CIA got their hands on him, and they underwent plastic surgery for Bill Hicks, and then he reemerged as Alex Jones. That's an actual theory.
When did Bill Hicks die? Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm even entertaining this. Bill Hicks died in the early 90s, right?
Right. I think it was 93.
Hold on a second. Jeez.
Yeah, just if you go to YouTube and you just put in, is Alex Jones Bill Hicks, tons of videos come up.
All right. Bill Hicks died February 26, 1994.
Four.
Okay. All right. And let's put in Alex Jones. Typing one-handed here, sorry.
I believe he began his cable access show like in 92.
Actor and advocate for the deaf. That's not him. Radio host. Okay. Sees himself as a libertarian. Rejects being described as a right winger. All right. Born in Dallas. In 1998, Jones organized a successful effort to build a new Branch Davidian church as a memorial to those who died. Oh, okay. Yeah. In the 2003. I can't find any mention of him before 1996.
Oh, boy. That's what all of the Bill Hicks is Alex Jones people say. We can't find any reference of him before 1996. Therefore, the CIA resurrected Bill Hicks and turned him into Alex Jones.
He's a lot younger than you'd think. He's only 38.
Yeah, he and I are the same age, or darn close to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, he started a cable access show in Texas in the early 90s. I know that. So it was before Bill Hicks had died.
Yeah. So, no, it says his public access show started in... In 1996, he switched format. So it doesn't say when his show started. First documentary was 98. He wrote a book.
He wrote a book? I didn't know that. I'm over on the wiki, too.
Yeah. Descent into Tyranny. All right. So I think we haven't really gotten anything definitive, but I think we've identified some telltale signs of a professional propagandist.
Oh, I hate to cut you off, Brad, but I think it goes back to, let's go back to the Catherine Blythe, John Bush Second Amendment rally. He was wearing makeup. He was filming that for one of his documentaries, it turned out. The guy is a performer, and you know, he is, I'm not going to put that down because I am too. That's what pays my bills. I am a performer to a certain degree. But the fact of the matter is he has put down Glenn Beck for coming out and saying, and I'm not giving any love to Glenn Beck, but Glenn Beck came out and said, I'm an entertainer. I'm a performer. That's what I do. I actually have to say I respect that a little bit more because Alex Jones is an entertainer. And like I said, a damn good one. But he won't admit that. If he would admit it, it'd be different. I could do the Alex Jones shtick, not to pat myself on the back, but I could do the exact same thing he does,
right,
as well as he does. But I would also say, you know what? Don't listen to everything I say. I'm a performer. I'm an entertainer. Now go buy this product that I'm going to shill to you, you know? And I think that's the different thing. He does not differentiate between the entertainment side of Alex Jones and the activist side of Alex Jones. They're so wrapped up together, it causes confusion and it causes disinfo.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that that's the performance is one thing. And just to speak to Murdoch's point one more time, you know, it could be caught if he is. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and just say that he's a huckster and a performer. It could be costly. I mean, if he is giving people bad advice on health issues, which I have not researched that too closely, and I don't want to jump to Murdoch's side on that automatically. I do understand that there's probably, you know, a lot to know about vaccines, and there's probably a lot of variance in the necessity and safety with different vaccines. But, you know, if he is giving people advice that endangers their well-being, their lives, their health, just because that advice fits his, you know, the broader picture of the whole thing that he's pushing, it's terribly irresponsible and myopic, in my opinion. And he is also discrediting. I mean, when he jumps in front of something, it is not necessarily outreach for the mainstream. Because, I mean, you know, people can rip on mainstream thought and mainstream media and, you know, the sort of zombie nature of the public as much as they want. But we have to be talking to those people, and we have to find constructive and meaningful and productive ways to communicate with people who are at this point not ready to embrace a lot of these ideas. And if Alex Jones continues to jump in front of this stuff, it's really bad, and it's really counterproductive, and it's outright destructive, because you can just clip up a video of him, which people have done, of him going batshit insane about something and say, oh, here's their spokesman. So, you know, I guess one message for this whole after show would be, like, be careful. And whenever I'm feeling conspiratorial, I say it's Alex Jones time, you know. Whenever I see this UN gun ban thing, like my first instinct, before maybe I think it through or you know, stop and look at the different components of the story, I say it's Alex Jones time. I've said it quite a few times, and sometimes it is, you know, maybe not Alex Jones the man, but it is Alex Jones time, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, and I want to say this. I entertain a lot of conspiracy theories. I walk somewhere down the middle, I think, between the Alex Jones and, say, the Murdochs and the Austin Petersons, because I do think there are conspiracies out there. I think there are a lot of things out there that we don't understand. The danger is when we don't understand them, we leap to a conclusion of what they are. Do I see chemtrails in the sky? I do all the time. The so-called contrails don't look like they did when I was a kid. They look different. I've asked my mom, are those what we saw when 20 years ago? No, they look different. Why? I can't get a definitive answer on. Did 9/11 conspire the way they say it did? Absolutely not. I mean, everybody who was, not everybody, but a vast majority of that panel says it didn't happen the way they say it did. Does that mean that the government had remote-controlled planes that they flew in there? Absolutely not. I think the conspiracy theories should be entertained, but I think we have to be very careful with where we take those theories in the end, if that makes sense.
Sure, and it's avoiding the argument from ignorance, which is exactly what you're talking about. Well, if you can't tell me how it happens, then I get to say this. If you can't tell me why the sky looks blue during the day, then I get to tell you that it's red.
So, right.
So this is the appeal to a person's ignorance, right? If there is a vacuum of information coming from your side of the debate, I get to fill it with mine, my position, and there's nothing you can do about it. So we see a lot of that with these unanswered questions about 9/11. So we get to put theories into those knowledge gaps and present it as truth because, you know, you can't tell me why we don't know this. So, yeah, I think that that's a really good point. I feel exactly the same way. I like to think that I have devoted more of my time in media to talking about things on the individual level and not trying to. I mean, the most monstrous, largest, destructive conspiracy that I've explored is the state's control of education. And I think it's the biggest, and I think everything else relates to it. And I think if people are not talking about how children are raised and how children are educated, and they're interested and in making the world a better place, in stopping injustice, in you know, slowing down what I believe is a march to a totalitarian society, to a police state. I believe all that stuff is happening. Yes. And I believe in little conspiracies all over the place, in various corners of government, and, you know, with the intellectual central planners and academia and the Council on Foreign Relations. Like, I believe all that stuff. But does it coalesce into one network? I don't know, and I've never found anything conclusive. I know that all of these people have all of these connections to each other, but how meaningful those connections are, like two people going to school together is not necessarily a meaningful connection. So I said this on a show recently, like if they were in some kind of club where they masturbated in a coffin, well, telling the other people in the club their sexual secrets, yes, that is more significant than two people graduating from Harvard Law School together. But I am willing to entertain a variety of these theories. I'm willing to entertain and to look at all of these things, and I find a lot of the evidence very compelling. But I also think that people need to find a balance in their lives of how much time they spend in those rabbit holes, because yes, they rarely go. Like, you have to understand that what was done to you through the government school system, and you have to learn your way out of the hole that you were put in. And in order to do that, you have to understand what was done. But that doesn't mean you need to jump down every rabbit hole, because I stand by what I said at this point almost 2 hours ago, that a lot of it leads to frustration, disempowerment, and feeling very, very small. And that doesn't help anybody. And that was my main objection to Alex Jones. These people are so goddamn powerful, there's nothing you could do by water filtration equipment.
Yeah, well, I got a couple things here. First of all, I want to read the wiki entry on the Alex Jones Show itself. I like, these monologues have a tendency to run into heated rants, while listener calls tend to be fleeting and brief. The show is interspersed by advertisements, which often feature Jones as a voiceover. Most of the products advertised relate in some way to self-sufficiency, food, health, or products available from Jones's InfoWars store. Couldn't have put it better myself. I want to go back to that point that I made earlier, and I don't think I can say this enough. I was invited to the Show Me Freedom Fest Missouri here last month as a guest of Tracy Ward. She actually asked me to speak. I don't really have any bona fides to do that, but she did. So I said, what should I talk about? She goes, make it up. Well, I made up a speech, and it was called Humor in the Defense of Liberty is No Vice. And where I went with that was the days when I was listening to Alex Jones nonstop. My humor started becoming fleeting. I started losing my humor. I started becoming very dark. I started becoming, I don't want to say depressed, but I certainly did feel that there was no way out. When people that I was around were telling me, you've become a different person, and I was arguing, going, yes, because I'm awake, you're sheep, you're nothing but sheep. I was becoming Alex Jones. And I think there is a real danger, like you said, to travel down those rabbit holes, to hold only to the words of Alex Jones. We isolate ourselves. We remove ourselves from those around us. We can no longer build a better society when we're isolated in our gloom and doom thinking and mentality.
Yeah, I mean, what a brilliant COINTELPRO plan. To tell somebody everything that's going on, but have them communicate it to other people in a way, the Alex Jones way, because that's the media they saturate themselves with, that is so offensive and so off-putting, and to some people who aren't ready to hear it, so terrifying that the person trying to communicate truths just winds up isolated, you know, and paranoid, and distancing themselves from friends and families. And a community that, if they had a nonviolent, constructive, and rational methodology for communicating these ideas, they might actually get somewhere. So that is a really good point, I think, for us to end on tonight, Brian. That and I think that I feel this happening to myself I have felt it in the past with myself as well, where you get frustrated with other people because of what they're accepting. And when the Alex Jones pile on begins, and you see how some people are just so insulated from what I believe a lot of the truth to be, it can be very frustrating, and it can lead to feelings of resentment and anger towards those people when it should be empathy and understanding, especially considering that we all fuck up all the time in our personal lives. And speaking from my own experience, I mean, maybe not all the time, all of us, but speaking from my own experience, I mean, there's been a lot of things that I didn't want to look at about myself, honestly, in the past because it was uncomfortable. And that's a continuous process to try and do self-improvement. And just think about how hard it is to try and change one person, your own self.
Yes.
So we get frustrated and angry by the fact that at other people because they won't let us change them in one conversation. And I think that, you know, that is the Alex Jones mentality, that it's my way, it's what I say, or you're a sheep, you're asleep, you're a shill. And it's just that goes nowhere. Okay, so I think on that note,
I really want to thank you for coming on tonight and for you inviting me to do so. I always enjoy being able to hang out with you. I really enjoyed the time we spent together when I came to Porkfest, and I hope we get to do that again next year too. And I certainly, anytime you need a guest, I'm here for you, my friend.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. Thank you so much. I thought you were fantastic tonight, as usual, and I will definitely have you on this part of the show again in the future. And I owed you one too, because for some reason when we did the after show at Porkfest, the last video that was you and my friend Kirk McNeil was corrupt. The file was corrupted, so I definitely wanted to have you on my show, in addition to just a repost of some Porkfest event that we did. And we will definitely do it again in the future, my friend. Keep up the good work with Fajita Fun Time. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you very much. You can find the Fajita Fun Time over on Facebook. Look for me, Brian Hagan, or I actually have the Fajita Fun Time page set up. I figured out how to do that. I also figured out, I don't know if you saw that, Brett, but I figured out how to put up one of those little chip-in things so people can donate money to me. And I'm very honest where the money's going to go. I'm not saying the Alex Jones thing where I can buy cameras and new equipment. No, I want it for booze and cigarettes. I really just want it for booze and cigarettes. That would make my life a lot easier if everyone could give me 50 cents and help me buy a pack of smokes every now and again.
Well, you've earned it. And it helps with the show because you probably need to smoke and drink during the show, right?
I do, absolutely, with no pants on.
Okay, so don't buy pants for Brian, but buy booze and cigarettes for him because it helps with Fajita Fun Time. So on that note, Brian, thanks again, and we will talk in the near future, all right?
All right, Brett, you take care, my friend, and we will see ya.
All right, bye. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave things. I'm going to start closing windows here because I've got so many windows open on this computer. You can maybe, if I switch, you can't see anything from there. But I have so many windows open, so I'm going to leave the chat open. So if there are... what, juice box. Last thing in the chat says, juice box, maybe? Brett, look at that vid. Juice boxes are making kids, says Alex Jones. Why? I'm not sure why in the chat it says some things are censored. Nothing should be censored. Is anyone having trouble... making kids, YouTube link. Censor, are YouTube's links being censored? Why would they not let YouTube links in the Ustream chat? Fuck Ustream. Right? Know what I mean? It's very difficult to do this by yourself. So the phone is open. I will, if you want, take one more call, and then I am wrapping this shit up for tonight. I'm very tired. I think I want a snack, and the only thing open is Cumberland Farms. No, not Cumberland Farms. 7-Eleven. That's all. It's the only place where you can get any food at this hour of the night. And I'll tell you, life on the road is difficult. I spend a lot of time on the road, And, you know, I like sparkly drinks, and it's hard to find sparkly drinks in these convenience stores that don't have aspartame in it. That's my new thing. I'm trying to get away from aspartame. You might have seen me drink a Pepsi One during the show. My drink selection here at the studio is limited. All this food loaded with all this processed shit. I'd like to get a lunchbox so then I could pack lunches and make lunches at home and bring them with me when I need to be on the road. I travel a lot for work when I'm busy. I'm driving to the seacoast in New Hampshire, 30 minutes one way, 40 minutes the other way. And I wind up stopping a lot. I've gotten a little bit better at it, like in the recent years. I used to be, you wait too long to eat and you get starving and then you can't make a good decision and you do something stupid. You eat something you shouldn't. So I've figured out where the supermarkets are. I can get a salad. Most supermarkets have this roasted chicken. That's okay. But that's the other shitty thing is like the roasted chicken. Supermarkets don't cook those chickens until they're about to go bad. So you're getting almost expired chicken, which is delicious. And it has never killed me. And I probably will continue eating it. It's not fried. It's roasted. I like the dark meat. I like the breast. Some supermarkets have really good salad bars. The best is Whole Foods, but the closest Whole Foods is probably an hour away from me. Have you ever seen their salad bar? It's every vegetable that you could possibly imagine in this thing. Wonderful. But yeah, so my goal is to do more cooking, more food preparation at home, and then bring that with me in a lunchbox. So if you want to help out with that, go to schoolsucksproject.com/lunchbox, and you can buy me a lunchbox. How we doing in the chat? Anyone still there? Wow, there are still people there. All right, so people say 7-Eleven is only marginally food. I agree. Oh, I'm trying to figure out. Google Alex Jones juice box making kids. Oh, I think it's censoring. It looks like it's censoring a word. Is it shit? Can someone tell me in the chat? It's juice boxes. Alex Jones, juice box making kids shit. Making kids gay. It censors the word gay. So, okay, Alex Jones has a video called Juice Boxes Making Kids Gay. You really want me to Google that? Okay, this is the last thing I'm doing. Fucking Alex Jones. See, but this is exactly what I mean. This is David Icke's reptilians. Juice boxes make you gay. Maybe I should just stay up all night.
Gay people now is because it's a chemical warfare operation. I have the government documents where they said they're going to encourage homosexuality with chemicals so that people don't have children. I even catch myself, Bob, drinking out of these estrogen mimickers. In fact, it'll probably say it if it's lined with it inside the plastic packaging. I wonder if this spring water, natural lime flavor I'm drinking. I know full well HEB's putting fluoride in this. Why am I drinking this? I know full well these kettle chips say that they don't have MSG, but they've got the yeast extract thing that says it's MSG. What's wrong with us? Why won't we stop? Why am I so weak? And they know that they have immersed us in this, Bob. For those watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, here's the inside of this juice box. And if they zoom in any more, see that thin plastic? It's got it. And I'm letting my children drink this. Why? Because after you're done drinking your little juices, well, you're ready to go out and have a baby. You're ready to put makeup on. You're ready to wear a short skirt. You're ready to go, put together a garden of roses or something. You're ready to put lipstick on. Look at this.
Huh. Okay. Well, on that note, I think we're going to call it a night. Everybody who has listened tonight to the after show, thank you very much. You've been great. I appreciate all of the activity in the chat. This is Baka Beyond, and this song is called Outback. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.